tired of sitting on the back porch with the handy, so you've considered, you know, making it so that you can do it from in the house. So, first thing I'll tell you is don't fight it. Every ham goes through it. When you get the antenna on the house and you see how well it functions, the next step's going to be, I need to convince my wife I need a different radio. So, just telling you, it's coming. Don't fight it. Just do it. If you need to lie to her, go ahead. It's okay. But I'm just kidding. But that's where you're going to end up. And when you get up into the higher powers, you know, transmitting a higher wattage, then, yeah, SWR, you know, could be an issue as far as damaging the radio. So just take the time. You can get a little cheapy, you know, handheld, whatever, website there. They're not completely, totally, you know, calibrated accurate, but enough to keep from damaging radio. So just keep that in mind. And but that's my opinion. You know, anybody else got one, go ahead. And if they don't, then you go ahead and pick it up, Mr. Daniel, and let me know what you think.
DR4DOS.
Ken, dear.
Oh, we got two of them. I got Gary first. Go ahead, Mr. Gary.
KO4NUE and an NKI4DOS. I just wanted to point out he should not use SWR meter that he uses should be for UHF and VHF. If he uses one for HF, it will not be accurate.
Stand by, Chandler. I got you. Daniel, you still in there? You wanna? Let's see where you are up to this point.
For me, is KO4ZY.
Yeah, I'm still here. I've got a couple of handies. I got the propane UV5R 8W. I've got the newest, what I'm talking on right now. UVS9 plus. Also have a kind of mobile 25 watt Chinese knockoff with power. Of course, I've got a power supply, and then if push comes to shove, I can pull the TYT9800 out of my truck. But yeah, I'm tracking everything that's being said. Believe it or not, I'm actually recording this so I can go back and listen.
Okay. Well, that's my take on it. And Gary, you got anything else before I move to the next comment?
Actually recording this on voice memo so I can get all these notes. Earlier when I spoke with John, I gave out my email address. I do have some plans for a 2-meter J-pole already. But if you copied that email address earlier, feel free to send me some a PDF plan, whatnot, of that Slim Jim you were talking about. Because I have plenty of copper available. That's not a break. KO4DOS, KO4ZYX, hard copy on that SWR. Definitely, when I set up my actual base station in the basement, I will have a SWR for UHF, VHF, and an additional SWR for HF. I do have a Yaesu 891, I believe. I don't remember exactly what model it is, but of course I do not have general class right now, so I can't play with it. But other than that, keep the comments coming. Like I said, I am recording all of this so I can go back and listen to it. KO4ZYX, turning back to net.
Comments, I think we had two in there. Now's your opportunity.
Whiskey 4 in there, Yankee in there. Yes, if you get on the computer, just type in JPO antennas, and scroll down to one of the JPOs. It gives you the precise measurements of the measurements on it on making that JPO.
Kilo, Oscar 4, Zulu, Yankee, X-ray, last station calling, didn't catch a call, but yeah, affirmative on that. I do have some very good J-pole 2 meter only, specs, I do HVAC, plumbing, electrical, I do all of that, so I'm very good with copper. I was just wanting to make sure on the, do I specifically need an SWR? Heard comments that depending on what radio I'm using, I forget about the transmit overtime. Last station calling. Roger, affirmative, everything you said. Definitely going to be looking into a SWR. This is KO4 ZYX. I will return to net control. KO4 NUE. I will be monitoring for the rest of the reaction. Over.
Third comment we had was KO4WWZ. Go ahead, Chandler.
I have an antenna analyzer that I could check your JPO after you get there making it to make sure it's going to be right or not.
This is KO4ZYX. Roger, roger on that antenna analyzer. I will try to put the antenna together tomorrow, but it may be a few days before I can actually get enough coax to run down to my basement. Could you give me your call, sir? Over.
Yes, W4IYI.
Whiskey 4 India, Yankee India. Is that correct? Over.
Correct.
Roger, KO4 QIX. My apologies, Chad. I will return it back to net for the next comment.
All right, next comment, I believe, was KO4 WWZ. Chandler, go ahead, sir.
Roger that. Thank you, Chad. This is Kilo Oscar 4, Whiskey Zulu. I'll go ahead and tell you that I think you pretty much have it under control about what radio to use at the base station. If you want a dual bander, I recommend the ICOM 2730. If you're okay with just 2 meters mono band, I would recommend the AZ2980R. I'll have to check and make sure that they still have some available, but it has a maximum output of 80 watts. Forgive me, I have a speech impediment. But you have 80 watts of power. That's the most I have seen so far in any kind of transceiver. So there's the ICOM, and then there's that option. If you have radios that you'd rather use, that is perfectly okay. And I believe that you have it under control. I just wanted to give you some ideas for some a dual band transceiver or a mono band transceiver. If you wanted them. This is KO4WWZ. That's all I have to say, Jack.
Make sure I got it. Here's the last tips we'll give you here from my end. When you, whether you go with a Slim Jim or a J-Pole, either one, at the bottom U, where you build the U at the bottom of the J-Pole, go ahead and solder you a T in one of those down at the bottom there. So you got something to attach it to the chimney with. Put you, you know, 6 or 8 or 10, 12-inch piece of copper below that. Whatever below the feed point's not really going to affect too much. And you use that to, you know, attach it to the chimney. Now, when you... are you going to solder SO239 or are you going to solder the... coax directly to the J-pole. Which one are you going to do?
Check in.
Back in.
All right, net control, please copy Kilo 9 Oscar Hotel. That's K9OH Billy. Bringing along my wife, Nancy. Kilo November 4, Delta Bravo, Quebec. We're both in Anderson this evening, I say. We'll be in and out short time. 73 to all. Hope everybody has a great evening.
Like to welcome K90H, that's Mr. Billy. And he brings along his wife, Miss Nancy, KN4DBQ in Anderson. Billy, hope you are doing well. And please tell Miss Nancy, we said hello. All right, let's get back to the comments as we close this out. Mr. Daniel, which one are you going to do? The SO239 or are you going to solder the coax directly to the J-pole?
KO4ZYX. I was probably just going to solder the 259 directly to the bottom of the J-pole. Over.
So whether you do the 259, SO239, whatever you're going to solder to the J-pole, I'll give you a little helpful tip here. Go ahead and solder, put you some solder, figure out where your lowest SWR is. What I do is use some clothespins to temporarily find where the adjustment needs to go to get your SWR the lowest. You're not going to be happy with the SWR while it's on the ground, but get it as low as you can get it, because when you get higher with it, the SWR typically is going to come down. So just keep that in mind. You're going to struggle a little bit and say, I cannot get the SWR down on this thing. What's going on with it? Well, just get it as low as you can. When you get some height and elevation on it, you're going to be happy with it. So solder you some, put you some solder. Go ahead and tin the location on the J-pole. And then tin what you're going to solder to it. So that when you throw the heat to it, you don't have to stay on it long. It'll attach itself real quick. And you won't have to, you know, focus all the heat on the area, then that'll make it stick pretty quick too. So with that, you know, let us know how it turns out, and you know, good luck with it. You got any more comments or questions, go ahead and ask them. We'll be glad to help you.
KO4ZYX, roger on that pre-tinning process there on slapping that jet all together. No comments, no questions right now. Probably be a week or so before I get everything put together with enough coax to run down to the basement. And I'm going to go ahead and order an SWR meter before I ever hook it up. But I do appreciate the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. And all the information that I get off of this, it's just amazing. This is KO4ZYX. I'll return it back to the net.
question before I let you go. What kind of coax you going to use?
I haven't completely decided yet. Still looking for ideas on that. I do have a very, very close family member that works for the cable company. I won't name the cable company, but of course anybody in the area knows. He can get me whatever I really want, but I believe I'm going to go with, if I'm not mistaken, RG8 or something. Correct me if I'm wrong. Over.
You want to be real careful here, and you know, with the 2 meter bands, getting the right coax is going to be, you know, kind of critical. Because if you're dealing with 5 watts, if you're going to screw the handy into it, you know, if you go with something like RG58, which is, you know, kind of cable TV kind of stuff. It's just going to be so lossy that, let me just word it this way. I know you would, might want to hear it, don't want to hear this, but while you're doing it, if you're going to go to the effort to get on the house and risk your life to get the antenna up there, if you're going to risk your life, don't do it for cheap coax. I know that sounds bad, but it's a loss issue. If you're dealing with lower wattages, I mean, I'm sure RG58 worked just fine to do, you know, kind of what you're doing. But like I said, if you go into the effort, just go ahead and bite the bullet and get some decent coax, so you're not losing everything that you put into it. Because at 50 feet with 5 watts with RG58, you're going to get about 2 watts at the antenna. It's almost half at 50 feet. So just keep that in mind. You know, if you're going to work the radio, get, you know, squeeze every ounce of power you can get out of it. Because keep in mind, you may not always do repeater work. You know, you may want to do some simplex stuff. And if you go ahead and do it now and get it set up right, if you want to do simplex, you don't lose all your power through, you know, RG58. So just keep that in mind. You're not going to like the price. It's about $1.60 a foot for some, you know, decent LMR 400. Or, you know, RG8, a little bit cheaper, but, and it'll do just as good. But just remember, it's all about loss. Don't forget that. That's pretty important.
Roger, yeah, I want the best of the best because I work in industrial commercial HVAC. So me climbing up on the top of my house, and then setting a ladder up on my chimney, that's nothing for me, so I want the best of the best. So, Chad, what's your opinion on what coax I need? That's why I come to you guys. I'm fresh on the ham radio society, you know, the brotherhood, and I want to know. I want to buy once. I don't want to buy 3 or 4 times over. Because I'm going to be pushing out the, if I take the TYT 9800, my finger fell off the handy. If I'm going to take the TYT 9800 and hook up, I'm going to be pushing up to 50 watts. So I want the best of the best. It's KO4 ZYX, over.
Right here. We'll come right back to you. Any other stations that like to check in, Alpha 3 Zulu, please call KO4NUE. All right. Just remember, you ask. So here's my lesson. So when I got started, I used RG58. I had a bunch of it down in the barn, you know, been sitting down there for years. I'm thinking, you know, coax is coax. You know, what's the big deal? So I went down there and cut me a 150-foot run of it. I had a whole spool of it, RG-58. And I had it laying all over the place. I had it running out the east side of the house and the north side of the house, you know, trying different antennas and this, that, and the other. And Dad hit it with a lawnmower, two of them, you know, got two of them in one day, just mangled them all up. So I went down there and cut me some more, you know. I had it to spare, I said, you know, I'll use it. So I cut another 150-foot run and strung it out across the yard. Well, I started asking questions. At that time, every Tuesday night, we were doing, you know, Mr. Walt sponsored, you know, people wanting to learn anything about needed help, you could come here on this net on Tuesday nights and ask any question you wanted about ham radio. UE and Blue Ridge 2-meter net. And so some of the wiser hams, Larry, Gary, Walt, Dave, you know, kept telling me, you know, you're losing all of your power out of your coax. And I'm thinking, that just gets crazy. Coax is coax. So, after, you know, listening to them trying to tell me for about a week, you know, I'm a little, got a thick skull plate sometimes, I decided to do my own little testing. I'm going to see what they're talking about. So, I hooked the, you know, hooked the power meter up to it at the end of the run at RG-58. And I'm pushing out 50 watts out of the radio. And at the antenna, I'm getting like 15 watts. And that was pretty eye-opening to me. And I had to come back and say, hey, you know, you guys are pretty smart, you know. So I, there's no way around it. The people who make that LMR 400, they know what it does, and they know how well it does it. And you know, unless you can get a good used chunk of it, then you know you're gonna pay for it. But I just need you to just trust me. It's gonna be worth it. It will be worth it. So you got to find a way to manage every watt you have, and you do that with SWR and the right transmission path. If you mess those up, you're gonna pay a price.
Roger, so what I'm understanding is I don't need to waste my money on anything other than LMR 400. Is that correct? Over.
If it's a short run, you know, you can do it with RG-58. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying that for repeater work, You know, bouncing in and out of repeaters. If you've got a short run of RG-58, hey, go for it. If it works, it works. It's not going to hurt your radio. But you're going to grow into this. Regardless of what you're thinking, you know, I'm not going to put a whole lot into this. And I got my Bofangs, and I'm going to, you know, make it work. And, you know, some of the questions that I hear you asking, I can tell you, no, you're not. You're gonna try to get better. So just go ahead and submit, you know, and do what you need to do with the transmission path. You're gonna be happier with it. And you know, push comes to shove, if you ever need to do simplex, and you probably will. You're gonna wish you had every ounce of energy you can use, because there's nothing more frustrating than knowing that, oh, Almation, you know, if I just put up a little bit better coax or got my SWR down just a little bit more, I probably could hear them. So it's a game, you know, it's a game. But you're going to be wiser for it, because it's going to be a good learning, it'll be a good learning opportunity for you too.
4-8-U-E-K-0-4-Z-Y-X. Roger, roger.
You don't know how much I appreciate this. Yeah, definitely that LMR 400 will be in my near purchase future, because, yes, as you said, hopefully before long, I will have my general, and we'll be talking around the world from down here in Woodson, South Carolina. Over.
Comment. Hey, Daniel. It's KO4WWZ. I'm studying for my general, too. But in the meantime, if you are interested, I know a way that you can talk around the world while you are still holding your technician license, and that would be through DMR, Digital Mobile Radio. And I had quite a bit of learning to do, but so far in the past couple of days, I have really enjoyed making contacts on the Skynet worldwide for the Grandmaster. So, you know, just to give you something to think about, if you would like to pursue it, I could give you some details and put you in contact with a hound that I've been learning from that knows a little bit about DMR. And, you know, maybe we could set something up, but that's only if you're interested. I'm not going to force you into it, sir. I just know that I've been enjoying what I've learned so far, and you might would too. So that's just something I wanted to put out there. KO4WWZ, that's KO4 in UE for net control.
I appreciate the comment. Let me make sure I got it.
Go ahead and close out, Mr. Daniel, KO4ZYX.
You got what you need? You got what you need, Daniel?
Affirmative. I do appreciate it. KO4ZYX. I'll be monitoring the rest of your action.
KO4NUE for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Any additional check-ins, Alpha through Zulu, please call KO4NUE. All right, so next up on the stump, and Chandler, let me apologize to you. I've got two check marks here. You're right up above Mr. Gary, and I mean Daniel, and I've got my check marks mixed up, and I got you out of sequence, so I do apologize for that. It was not intentional. So, with that, Mr. Chandler, KO4WWZ, you're next up on the stump, sir.
That's right, and it's perfectly okay. I would just wanted to let you know, I've been shadowing you as a net controller tonight, and let me just say, it is not easy listening for all these call signs and names. But I've managed to write them all down. My hardest part was determining who was doing RADCU and who was not. The main reason I say that is because I probably should have put an RC by the names that the ones who were checking in for RADCU. So if you have any advice on how I could do that, I would appreciate it. And also, could I possibly send you the list I wrote down tonight for check-ins to let you see how I went about doing it and see if you could give me some tips on how I could make it better?
All right, roger that. So what's your count so far? How many calls you got checked in?
All right, give me just 1 second.
Tell me how many pieces of traffic you got. And how many people were on RACU. And while you're tallying all that up, I'm going to move to Mr. Gary. I'll swing right back and get you when he's done. Get your numbers, and we'll talk about it. So with that, Mr. Gary, KI4DOS, you next on the stump while Mr. Chandler's getting his tally. And Gary, what you and Miss Joy been up to today?
Correct, KO4NUE in the net, KI4DOS. Well, we haven't been up a whole lot today. Just kind of fiddling around. Stephen and Heidi, as my son and his wife, came over, my grandson Aiden. And Joy has a new puppy here at the house. It's, I think it's, she's 5 months old, German Shepherd. Really pretty little young lady. So we got another shepherd here, and this one is in the house right now. It has been housed, been in the house all of its life, so it's going to get a learning experience here in about 2 or 3 days, because she will go outside with the other German Shepherd out in the yard, and we'll go from there. But the puppy has never been walked on a leash, so it's. It is a learning experience for both Joy and I and the dog, because we've always had our dogs on leashes. So we've had a good afternoon, especially with the rain coming in and out.
And on the mountain, have his say, as you say, Gary. This is KO4NUE with KI4DOS on the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. So, okay, so a couple of questions, I guess. So, how did this transpire, and what did you decide to name it?
I'll answer the second part first. I did not decide to name it anything. Joy had the name picked out before the dog got here. our daughter-in-law, well, not our daughter-in-law, our grandson's mother, had her female had puppies, and this is one of hers out of her litter. They were going to keep it, and then her husband just said, says, we got too many German Shepherds in the house. You're going to have to part with this one. So while Patrick and I were up playing radio yesterday and stuff like that, she got a phone call, and when I got home, I was presented with the thing that we were getting a new dog, and the dog's name is Ellie, E-L-L-E, and I said, okay. I said, when's she going to get here? And she said, either tonight or tomorrow. And I said, okay. I said, how old is she? She told me it was 5 months. I thought it was going to be a puppy, but it's not. She's a little older than that. But that's how that came about, and I did not name her. That's Joy. Joy named the dog, and it's going to be Joy's dog, I hope.
Good deal. Did she marked up pretty? I mean, Is she pretty? I guess she is. But she got a pretty good disposition to her, or what?
She's prettier than I am. I'll leave it at that. No, she's a gorgeous dog. I'll take a picture of it and send it to you. She has a very sweet disposition. She doesn't like me real well, but she likes Joy, and which is good, and I don't care if she likes me or not. I'll make her mine, but, you know, I might get snapped at, but if I get bit, I'll knock her teeth out. And, of course, the other dogs already know that, so, you know, that's a no-no. You don't put your teeth on me. But she's a real pretty dog, and like I said, she's 5 months old, a little older than I would have liked, because, you know, everybody raises me. And we've had this particular breed, oh gosh, for the last, I know, at least 45 years or something close to that. And so, you know, we know about the breed and how they act and what their traits are and that sort of thing. So we'll have to wait and see about that. But I'll take a picture of her and shoot you a text with it.
I can't wait to see her. I bet she's just gorgeous. But what does what's the dog in the backyard? What she think about it?
Produced yet. Now the one on the inside likes her. Which is unusual because the little dog on the inside doesn't like the big dog on the outside. But when the little dog goes outside, it's in her territory. And now this big dog's inside, which is the little dog's territory. So I don't know. It's going to get confusing. We're going to take her out there and introduce the two German Shepherds today. But as we were starting out the back door, the bottom fell out. And, of course, the Callie, the one that stays outside in the yard already, she went running in her house, and she didn't want to get soaking wet. So that was fine with me, and after that, I didn't want to go out there in the mud.
Okay. Well, congratulations. I've always wanted a German Shepherd. I have always wanted one. They're just, wonderful dogs. I think if something ever happens to KC, or when it does, I'm just gonna go ahead and get one, because I think they're just absolutely beautiful dogs, and I know you enjoy her. She's Joy does a good job with them. And it won't take her long. She'll fit right in. But I got a feeling Callie's going to, put her in her place for a little while. But once they get all that figured out, it's going to be a good deal. Maybe she won't be afraid of the rotator when you rotate it.
Hope not. I'll tell you this, and then I'll let you go. Let's get on back over there to Chandler. I got in the house and Joyce yesterday afternoon, and Joyce said, well, I guess you're going to have to get a job. I said, why am I going to have to get a job? She says, well, we got a new puppy coming, and you got to buy the dog food.
Okay, well, ain't much you can do about that. All I can tell you is go buy the dog food, that's the way it is. So, like I said, just say yes, ma'am, and then go ahead and do it. Just go ahead and pick you up an extra bag, for her, and just it'll be all right. She'll fit in and just be part of the part of the plantation, and it won't be long. You just like she's always been here. That's kind of what you want to do. But I will be curious to see what Callie does. And trust me, she knows that. She knows she's in that house. They may not have met face to face, but she knows she's in there.
About that, Callie's been up on the back porch looking in the windows there. And of course, the Ellie, the new dog, has stayed in the living room. Hadn't gone into the kitchen, which is a good thing. I don't like a dog running through my kitchen anyway. That's just me. She's been looking for her, but she hadn't seen her yet. I'll let you know how it all turns out, and I'm sure it'll all work out real well. And I wish the fella that's down in Woodruff that is building his an antenna, hope he has as much fun as we did, and he'll learn a lot, and hope everything goes well for him. We'll talk at you a little bit later. 73 there, young man. Enjoyed it as always, and we'll do it again. KO4NUE in the net, KI4DOS.
KI4DOS, KO4NUE. Good evening, Gary. 73's. Tell Miss Joy I said hello. And I hope Ellie keeps you up all night tonight. I'm just kidding. But good luck with it. Tell Miss Joy we said hello. And y'all be safe. 73's. All right, any more stations, Alpha through Zulu, that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call KO4NUE. So with that, we'll move back to Mr. Chandler, KO4WWZ. All right, where you at, Chandler?
Roger that, KO4WWZ. I have a total of 23 pre-net check-ins, and I have a total of 23 pre-net check-ins, and I also have a total of 33 check-ins via RF and EchoLink, 56 total check-ins altogether. There were two pieces of traffic. The first came from Dave W4BJW, and the second from Mark W2NJD. Dave announced that the meeting on Monday night was pretty much canceled, I believe, and Mark was announcing the classes for general and technician through Gary Life.
I got a few different numbers there. I got 22 on pre-check. I've only checked them once, though. So you may be right there, but I'll finalize that at the end. And 42 check-ins at this point, two pieces of traffic. And so, you know, you're pretty close. Did you get all the names and locations?
All the locations negative. There was one name I could not catch. That was AF4SH. That was David's wife, KF4NXY.
That. Okay. All right. Well, that's pretty close. It's, you know, as far as what I got, I could be wrong too. I'll finalize the count with what I got, but. You know, just speed up, I guess. That's all I can tell you. And as far as the rack you go, you just, you know, get two ink pens. I used to two different colors, but I do a little check mark here, you know, so I know who to come back and get. But, you know, that sounds pretty close, I guess. But other than that, what else you got for us, Chan?
Well, sir, I don't really know what else I have. I'm just trying to think. Let me see, how have you been doing? I'll go there. I'll go, how have you been doing? And, okay. Do I need to, is there anyone else behind me? Cause I don't want to take up too much time another way.
I think you're the last one on the list tonight, as far as I can tell. Like I said, doing pretty good. Still hadn't got all of my stamina back. I still think that's going to, you know, take a couple of weeks. I have noticed, though, that my mind is very slow. It's always slow, of course. But since you know, I had COVID, I just... I have some short-term memory issues because of situations in Iraq. So I already struggle with some, you know, short-term memory issues. But I don't know, since this COVID thing is just, it's hard to remember things. And I know I'm just tired. At least I hope that's what it is. But it's quite aggravating, if you want to know the truth, because you get something right on the tip of your tongue and just can't get it out. It's just it's very frustrating. But I'll get it worked out. I'll get it figured out. But
Now, other than that, things are well. I said I got to visit with my stepbrother this morning. And I just had a pretty relaxing day. Let me let my radio drop.
Amazon came today. And I have got a quad antenna, a five-element quad antenna that I built down in the shop. Built it out of a paint handle that's fluorescent yellow, and the radials that hold the quads is made out of fluorescent orange driveway markers. So it's quite the color, you know, safety yellow and safety orange. Well, I've been doing some testing with it and beating it around and, you know, this kind of thing. So I've got it on the front porch, right in front of the door, I'd like to add to, you know. So the Amazon guy came today and dropped off a package. And he saw it on the porch and looked and looked and walked around and walked around it and thought about coming and knock on the door, but he didn't. But took his cell phone out and, you know, took 4 or 5 pictures of it. And I'm not sure exactly, you know, kind of what he was doing, I guess, but he stared at it, and took a couple pictures and got back in the truck and drove off. So they ain't no telling what he thought it was, but, I mean, I don't care. I know what it is. But we'll see what happens when he delivers the next package. He may ask me about it. We'll see.
K-O-4-W-W-C-R-I-D. Now, you got me tickled on that one. That was hilarious. I could imagine the wheels that are turning in that Amazon delivery driver's head right now.
No doubt. But other than that, you doing okay?
I'm doing okay. I just, you know, as everybody does, I'm realizing that there's things in life that I still need to learn. You know, not just in ham radio, but in general, there's a lot of things that, you know, especially ham radio, there's a lot that I have to learn still, and I'm doing the best I can. I just, you know, I make mistakes, but that's just part of learning the hobby, and I'm grateful to have people like you and everyone else in this club that are willing to help me learn and not just throw me under the bus, if you know what I mean.
This KO4NUE with KO4WWZ. Throw you under the bus. No, I'm not sure what you mean there. What you mean?
I'm not trying to say anything that you guys didn't like. So what I mean is I appreciate that you guys take time to explain to me and show me ways that I can do things other than just, you know, telling me, you know, how bad I am and all that. You guys help me learn and you help me understand. And I am grateful for you guys helping me understand how to learn things and how to do things. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't know what to do. And I wanted to let you know that I'm grateful for all of that.
And I understand. Well, you're right. We all make mistakes. You know, unfortunately, sometimes, though, we some of the mistakes, if you know, can be bigger than others, and some you can always recover. It might not be able to recover the way you want it, but you gotta, you know, with mistakes, be able to accept the learning curve that comes with it. Sometimes that involves, you know, correction. With correction is
a pretty important lesson that comes with that.
And let me tell you what I mean. Let me let my radio drop. One of the first lessons I remember learning in the military was sometimes the decisions that you make on how you carry yourself or how you conduct yourself can have some pretty catastrophic effects, not just on you, but on other people. And I think we've all learned some hard lessons with that. I know I certainly have. But when you're given the responsibility for something, and with that responsibility, command some ability to manage it. That's why you kind of go slow with things sometimes and try to learn slowly as you go and not get too far in over your head. My whole point of this conversation is to say that we all make mistakes. But when those mistakes are corrected, you have to be able to look at those mistakes as, look at it just like this. If nobody bothered to correct you, then they don't care a whole lot about you or don't care a whole lot about the way you do things. When someone takes the time to correct, although it may be sound harsh, the reality of it is that with that correction, whether it verbal or written or legal, whatever, what they're really saying is, we're going to take the time to get you trained and get you corrected so that, you know, you can, you know, kind of get on track. So that's a pretty important lesson with correction. If it's just, you know, an outright reprimand and walk away with no explanation, that's pretty harsh. But correction in the right environment, you have to be able to look past that and say, okay, well, yeah, that's right. I just tuck it in your chest and learn from it and move on. That's what you have to do. But you have to be able to accept correction gracefully sometimes too, and that's a difficult thing to do, and sometimes it can be a little painful, but you know, that's a good life lesson there. That happens, and you gotta be able to deal with it, right?
Roger. And I'm just thinking back to, you know, yesterday on all of this, and I won't get into it too much on either, but I talked with W4DJW, and I knew there's some things coming, and I'm wanting to keep the positive mindset, and for anybody out there listening, I apologize if I may have done anything that has bothered you, and with that, I think I gotta go in and get in the bed and do all my stuff I need to do before going to bed. But yeah, Chad, I hear you on that, and sometimes I just need your wisdom, and I appreciate it, and I'm doing my best to be a good person and a good ham, and I wanted you to know that, and know that I am thankful for what you guys are helping me learn, and I know what's coming, and I understand why, and thank you.
Fair. That's fair. Just, just want you to know, it's okay it's okay to go slow. Sometimes you have to slow down a little bit, and just kind of grow into where you are. And that's hard to do. It really is, because you know you're standing at point A, and you can see point C, and you want to be at point C so bad, but the important thing is that point C sometimes doesn't really matter. What matters is how you move through point B to get to C, and that takes a lot of time, so that when you do get to where your end state is, you've got a solid foundation. And that's just not about ham radio, that's with anything, is that, you know, be able to just grow gracefully into it, take the licks when they come, and just accept what it is. And if it's truthful, accept it and own it. And I'll be the first to tell you. I've made some big mistakes in my life. Okay? Some big ones. Some costly ones, let me add.